Well, this morning, I'm going to start by jumping straight into Ephesians 4. Last week, Paul began exploring Ephesians 4 by looking at verses 1 to 10. And for me, what stood out was how Apostle Paul challenged his readers to respond to Jesus by the way they lived their lives. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul challenged them to live up to their calling that they had received. He was not talking about a specific calling or vocation, but he wanted them to grow more like Jesus, to grow into who he had created them to be, and to let Jesus be the king of their lives. But also last week I was reminded that when we accept Jesus as invitation, our story becomes part of a bigger story. A story that has one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, and one body. It is in this context that Paul, and I'll say C because there's a few Pauls in here, explored the themes of unity and conflict. But today we'll look a little further on in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And I'm just going to read that, and we may have a slide. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the God, of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So in this passage, Paul describes a different kind of gift which God gives the church and outlines the reason for giving this gift. But before we have a look at these gifts, I would like to take a step back and reflect on what other gifts God has given us or can give. So firstly, when we think of gifts, who can go past Christmas? This year I received a different type of gift, a card. And inside the card it read, "Dear Mum, Merry Christmas. I know this is not the traditional gift, but I found it and thought of you. I hope you like it. It was a gift of a kitchen garden on my behalf to a Syrian refugee living in Jordan. And I thought this was a pretty special gift." Another gift I received last Christmas was the feeling of joy when watching the kids' Christmas play. Christmas is a time when much of our focus is on gifts, and we are reminded of God's gift to us. God became human. He took on human form and chose to begin a life here on earth as a baby. What a gift. God's gift to us was baby Jesus. Now, it was only 2 weeks ago I was given a devotional titled Knowing Him, and I was challenged to think outside the box when thinking of this gift, baby Jesus. I wonder, what will you think of these gifts? When we think of baby Jesus, we are given the gift of a name. God said to call him Jesus in Matthew 1:21, and that it will be the name that every knee shall bow. We were given the gift of an example of obedient parents. They did just what God asked them to do. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And Joseph did. He married Mary, who was pregnant, and it was not even his child. But this gift is a little unusual. The gift of a place to be born, a manger outside an inn. The writer encouraged us to think about what Jesus would say to his friends when they asked him where he was born. "Well, friends, I was born in a manger outside because there was no room for my family." In this scene, what do we see? Maybe it is a gift of laughter. A gift? So what other gifts has God given us? Every Sunday morning we participate in communion, and we are given the space to reflect on Jesus' death and resurrection and his immense love for us. Here we can see Jesus' actions as a gift of grace, a gift of reconciliation and freedom, a gift of identity and purpose. We can now be known as his children. What a gift. So what other gifts does God give? Here we can go to a few different lists in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, we read, "But by the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different types of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And one and the same Spirit works through all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And then again in Romans 12, 8 and 6, we can find another list. We read, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, these lists do not list all the gifts that God gives. However, it does show me three things about God's gifts. Number one, that these gifts are from the manifestation of the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What a gift. The gift of the presence of God always with us. And here I cannot but be reminded of the scene described in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended and the crowd heard the disciples speaking in their own languages. Now, that is thinking outside the box. How great would it have been to be part of that crowd? Can you imagine what that would look like if we saw it happen today? Yet we have the same Spirit living within us. What a gift. But number two, these gifts are given for the profit of all, the church. Different gifts are not given to the individual so we can feel extra special, or we can use them to describe our identity. Our identity lies solely in the first gift we are given, Jesus. But at the same time, we are not to ignore the gifts God has to give, as they are for the church. And I'm reminded when I read 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." God wants us to talk to him about his gifts, just like he wants us to share with him everything that is happening in our lives. Number three, God gives to each and every person different gifts as he chooses. They are his gifts to give. We cannot earn them. And here I think of Peter, an uneducated fisherman. I love it how God thinks outside the box. Now I'll pause here, as there may be some who are starting to ask the question, well, what are my spiritual gifts? And this is a question that in the past I've asked, and I occasionally have heard others ask it. But on reflection, I wonder if we are asking the correct question. Maybe we should be asking, what gifts has God given the church through the manifestation of the Spirit in us? This challenge was given to me during the week when discussing this passage, as it resonates with me. As when I took out the I and the my out of the question, I was reminded that that any gift from God are not mine. I don't have ownership of them. All gifts are from God and to be used for his purpose. So finally, what is the gift that God gives the church that was mentioned in today's passage? And we read again in verse 11 to 12. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Now, N.T. Wright, in his book Paul for Everybody, states the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers were crucial to the establishment of the first generation church. And Wright also gives us a description of them, which I'm going to share, simply because they're a little different to the usual statements such as an apostle is, the 12 disciples, or Paul uses in relation to a broader group of people. Anyway, I just chose his descriptions because they're a little bit different, something to think, just a bit outside the box. So first of all, apostles were witnesses to the resurrection. Since the resurrection is the foundation of the church, the testimony of those who have seen the risen God was the first Christian preaching. The prophets. Early prophets spoke in the name of the Lord, guiding and directing the church, especially in the time before the New Testament was written. The evangelist announced to the surprised world that the crucified Jesus was risen from the dead and both Israel's Messiah and the world true God. And pastors and teachers looked after the young churches and developed and trained them in their understanding. Now, this morning, I'm not going to explore the individual callings in any detail, as there is still debate in the church as to the nature of the different callings and their ministries. However, what I will comment on is what these verses are saying to me about these leaders. I've got another picture. There it is, stepping forward. So firstly, to me, the verse highlights to me that these leaders are not to do all the ministering. They are not called to do everything. Now, I remember growing up in a small country town, and I went to a small church, and the minister did everything except teach Sunday school. When I think of this minister, it makes me think of the film called The Incredibles. I don't know, has anyone seen The Incredibles? Yeah. There's a family, and each family member has a different superhero. And I quite like this film, I must admit, I've watched it a few times. And one of the characters in the film is a girl, and she's called Elastigirl. And when she fights the baddies, she has a supernatural ability to stretch herself in all different directions. So when I think, however, of the minister from my childhood days, or Elastigirl, these pictures are not reflected in the verse that Paul uses to describe these leaders. They are not meant to do everything and be stretched in all different directions by our expectations. Paul quite clearly states in this passage that their purpose is to build up the church by equipping and training each individual and the body as a whole to serve in different ministries. So with this purpose in mind, I am thankful that I'm part of a church where our leadership have placed pathways, what's your next step in place. And I am grateful that every person, regardless of age, gender, or social status, can be given the opportunity to step forward in different ministry areas and serve. Although I am thankful for opportunity, there are times I've wondered, well, what is my next step forward? And I would think about my giftings and at times try and identify what I felt God had given me to use here at the church. And this is what I discovered. There are some gifts I just knew I have. There are other gifts that I know I definitely don't have. And those that are with me in the kitchen would, you know, may have stumbled over a few of those areas. There are other gifts, it has only been over time that I've been able to identify them. But mostly, it is not until I step into a ministry area and have begun to serve in this area that I have become aware of a possible gifting. Now, maybe you already know all this, but if you are still discovering the gifts that God gives, I would like to encourage you to step forward into a different ministry area or a ministry area that you're interested in and serve. Just imagine. You might consider joining the nursing home ministry and be surprised with what you discover. You may have a pastoral gifting. Or you may have joined the Alpha team and over the next 8 weeks have become aware that you have the heart of an evangelist. Or just maybe you have joined the kids ministry team because you love children. And then you find that you have a gift of teaching. Or it may be a bit simpler. Maybe you decided to help out on the Sunday morning roster. And while serving tea and coffee, you discover that you have the gift of encouragement. There are many ways in which we can serve and discover God's gifts. But what I am constantly reminded of is that these gifts are not given so that we can feel extra special in a certain ministry area. Reflecting on today's message, I haven't explored in any detail Paul's challenge to his readers to grow up and mature, and the importance of Christian teaching and doctrine. But we have discovered in this passage that God gives the church certain people with particular giftings for certain roles, so that every individual and the church as a whole may be equipped to serve. We have identified some of the different kinds of gifts God gives, and how one way in which we can discover our gifting is by stepping forward into different ministry areas and serving. So finishing up, let's take a look again at today's passage. We'll read verse 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From these verses, we are given the picture of the body, the church growing up into Christ, who is the head. N.T. Wright says this image may be referring to the way in which the body, the church, takes orders from the head and must be brought into line with what the head intends. But for me, it simply directs my thoughts back onto Jesus, the most amazing gift we will be ever given. And as I think of Jesus' love for us, which saw him choose to come to earth as a baby, I am reminded of the need for us to continue to walk in love, regardless of what different kinds of gifts God gives his church. Now, when I was preparing my message, I always pray that there'll be something in it that God will speak to you about. It could be as simple as that we have a good God, or that we are his children. Maybe he is prompting you about a different ministry area that you've been thinking about. But for me, while I was preparing this message, this song about that regardless of giftings, I need to walk in love, or I'll be bankrupt. So for me, this was what God was saying to me. But I encourage you during the week ahead to think about what God was saying to you.